James Spader won 3 Emmys playing Alan Shore, the flamboyant attorney, on 2 TV series, Boston Legal and The Practice. And now he's playing a very different kind of lawyer in his Broadway debut in David Mamet's new play, Race. The cast also includes David Alan Greer, Kerry Washington, and Richard Thomas. It's on stage at the Ethel Barrymore Theater on 48th Street, is it?
7th.
47th Street. Well, I found the theater anyway, and I'm very pleased that Mr. Spader found our studios here and is joining me now. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. Boston Legal ended its run in 2008 after 5 seasons. Did your role on that show lead directly to this part?
No, it didn't. I looked around for a bit, and in the looking found this, and it found me, and that's how it came to be. But I don't know even how familiar David Mamet was with the show that I'd done. I know he'd seen it, but it was not something that led directly to
this. Well, was the idea of playing a lawyer again appealing to you?
You know, I really didn't give it a thought. I was sent the play, and I was aware of the fact before I received it that it was set in a law firm, but I didn't really give that a thought. I think mainly just because I'm so used to that being the setting for drama in so much of what we see and read and hear, you know, and the story here was so different and the people were so different that I never really gave it a second thought.
Was it a plus that this is the first, for you anyway, that this was the first production of Race that you would be able to put your stamp on the character instead of having to come up with something different from what William H. Macy or Joe Mantegna had done?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, but not just that. It was also, I think David was also very drawn to the idea that the show also wasn't going to try out anywhere. It wasn't going to open out of town and then move to New York if, you know, he has worked now a couple of times with this producer, Jeffrey Richards, who in both cases, I think with November, a new play that of David's that Nathan Lane did, I think last year or the year before, and then also now with Race, that Jeffrey said, let's just open it in New York at the Ethel Barrymore and dispense with opening trying it out of town. And I think David was very drawn to that, as I was as well. So not just originating the role, but also just going straight to New York and starting the play.
Well, David also directed this production. It's his Broadway debut as a director. Do you think it would have been very different?
Is it
production?
His Broadway debut?
That's
I didn't know that.
I mean, he's directed elsewhere, but I think
yes, I didn't
Broadway.
Know that it was. I didn't know that. I mean, I know that he hadn't directed, I think, in a decade or more, but he. But I thought that maybe in the past he had. But
well, that's the information I received. I probably am wrong. I've been wrong so many times that there's a whole list on the internet of Lopate's mistakes. But do you think it would have been different production with a different director?
Oh,
it's always
yes,
interesting when the writer directs.
I was that was another reason why I was. I mean, if you're doing this in a wonderful fashion, in that as opposed to asking me why it was I was interested in doing the show, you're mentioning every single one of the reasons, and that was very compelling. That was a very compelling one. I think he directed, in retrospect now, I realize that David really directs his material in a very different way than I think other people do, and he really has a great sense for not only his language, but also that world that his characters inhabit, which there is, not a consistency, but there is a relationship between the different worlds of the different characters in his different films and plays and so on, and they do relate to one another, and you know, it's the world of, you know, hustlers and con men and
lawyers in this case.
Well, in this case,
degree, the hustlers and lawyers.
No, the hustlers and con men in this story happen to be lawyers. You know.
Well, he's written a book about his theories about how actors should say what he has written. So, did that affect the way he directs actors? If I remember correctly, because he talked about it on the show many years ago. He doesn't like it when actors say, well, what is the motivation for this line?
David's funny in that, first of all, to address the first thing you said about saying his words, Yes, but I'm an advocate of that as well. I believe that one should speak what is written on the page. But that doesn't mean that what's written on the page doesn't change during the process of getting to the final performance, whether it be in film or television or on the stage. During the rehearsal process and during the writing process, those words that are written on the page change very often.
It's also affected by who you're working with.
Without a doubt. And it also changes depending on, you know, certainly in the theater world, it changes based on response from a preview audience and so on. Our play absolutely changed to a certain degree during the course of the preview process. Not just blocking and timing and pace and things like that, but also line changes because of just what you learn from performing in front of an audience. And David is very open to that. He's not, you know, there's a great flexibility, and there's also a great collaboration with him. I think that a great deal of what he, or a certain amount of what he has said, and sometimes in his writing, is bravado and humor, and what he says there is, and also context. You know, he very often directs with, you know, he'll say something very complicated to try and convey something very simple, and he will very often say something very simply that is to invoke something that's quite complicated. And I think that he, you know, he'll tell you that he wants you to do absolutely nothing except hit the mark and say the words, at the same time that he's asking you to do everything. And that's really what he's challenging you to do. But, you know, he's a very, very smart man, and I think he understands the power of words, whether they are taken literally or not.
My guest is James Spader, who's starring in David Mamet's Race, now at the Ethel Barrymore Theater at 243 West 47th Street in an open run. It is set in a small law firm. The lawyers seem tailor-made for a Mamet play. They're manipulative. They engage in questionable ethics. They talk about bending the truth to fit their case if it's necessary. What did he tell you about your character, Jack Lawson?
He didn't tell me a lot about Jack Lawson. It really was just he told me nothing and everything, and that, you know, he's very anecdotal in terms of how he directs. He tells a lot of stories, and the stories relate. And, you know, his history also comes out during the course of the rehearsal process. You know, his father was an attorney, and David has long been fascinated with that world and cares desperately about it. He
even made a film about a law case during, was it the Browning case, if I remember
well,
correctly.
Well, he also, you know, he wrote The Verdict and the Sidney Lumet film and with Paul Newman. And you know, he loves that world. And you know, he would send me things. You know, he'd send me The Art of Cross-Examination, and he'd send me other, you know, he sent me a case book that he had, also a book that he'd written about a case. But he directs in an indirect way. He moves with you in a certain direction. I guess with the intention that you don't notice, but of course one does.
Well, Jack, your character has a partner, Henry Brown, played by David Alan Grier, and a young associate, Susan, played by Kerry Washington, both of whom are black. And I wonder if he's trying to tell us something by giving both the men last names, but not Susan.
I'm not sure. I wonder if that would come as a surprise to him if we were to mention that to him. Some things that seem very deliberate sometimes are surprising, you know.
Jack and Henry allude to the fact that they used to be idealistic, but that it didn't pay.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. I don't know whether that's David's feeling or whether it's just the feeling that he's projected on these two guys, or certainly on Jack. And I don't even know whether that's Henry's feeling either. Jack is the only one who says it. I think that anybody who spends their time working in the public defender's office or even as a prosecutor, I think, is faced with that very problem. I think that's why it is that so many people use, you know, the prosecutor's office, the district attorney's office, or the public defender's office as a jumping off point to private practice. Or the reverse of that is that extremely successful attorneys like Barry Scheck and Alan Dershowitz and other people like that, you know, will be working on very, very high profile cases to be able to finance incredibly significant and important and constructive pro bono work that they work on.
Well, you get the feeling that Jack really hasn't lost his idealism. He wants to be a good lawyer, but he and his partner want to take on cases that they can win. So when this client comes their way, Charles Strickland, played by Richard Thomas, he'd been fired by his previous attorney, they're understandably cautious. Just before we go to a break, what can you tell us about the case without giving too much away?
It's a rape case. He's been accused of raping. Charles Strickland is a middle-aged white man who has been charged with raping a younger black woman. It seems as if the case is stacked against him.
And the title of the play, Race, indicates that this is largely about what happens when whites and blacks wind up in conflict.
Well, it is certainly what the case will become about, and therefore the play will become about.
James Spader is my guest. He is starring in Race along with David Alan Grier, Kerry Washington, and Richard Thomas. It's at the Ethel Barrymore Theater on West 47th Street, 243 West 47th Street, to be exact. We will continue our conversation after this. We're back with James Spader, who is starring in Race now at the Ethel Barrymore Theater, along with David Alan Grier, Kerry Washington, and Richard Thomas, a play that has two white actors and two black actors. During rehearsals, did you debate the merits of this case?
Not to a great degree. We really took the lawyerly point of view, which is guilt and innocence are not really as important as winning or losing the case. And it's been funny. That's been reflected in our audience members. There's been a sort of wave of audience members from the legal community that have been coming at different times, ebbing and flowing. As they in January, we had a whole group that showed up, but. Non-lawyers seem to wonder whether he did it or not, whether the man was guilty or not of the crime, and the lawyers are really much more concerned with the machinations of who's guilty of what within the legal firm, you know.
Because this is largely about process.
Yes, very much so. I mean, process and how that affects the relationships within the firm. And those relationships and the dynamic of between those people come to bear because the case forces them to face the things that they ignore a lot of the time, which is their race and their culture within amongst themselves. You know,
a lot of film and TV actors have been performing on Broadway in the recent years with mixed results, but in your case, the reviews have been uniformly spectacular. You look like you've been working in theater all your life. Have you done much theater?
I did a fair amount of theater when I was very, very young. And then I started working in film, and I worked in films for, 25 years or so. And then I worked on this television show for about 5-6 years, and then now I'm back doing theater again. And for me, you know, it's all acting in different forms, but they all certainly relate to one another.
But film and television are smaller. People in the back row have to know what you're thinking.
Yes, they have to hear you, and it has to be.
They also have to see what you're doing with your face.
Yes. I also think that it's also a matter of commitment and confidence to a certain degree. I think, listen, there's another very real aspect of this that I think, which is stage fright, you know, and that's a very real thing, which seems sort of silly, but it's not. And it's something that makes someone who deals with that might confine themselves to film or television, where they're not as exposed to that as they might be if they're in the theater. And as I said, that seems like such a ridiculous consideration. It's not. It's a very real thing that I think that some actors face, you know. But
theater actors seem to feed off of the audience, and even the slightest murmur is something that they will respond to.
I think to a degree. I mean, it's certainly a live beast in the room, but I don't know. I'm not quite sure what my relationship is with an audience. I don't think about that. I don't reflect on it very much. I just really try and just do the work that I'm doing. And absolutely, listen, with this play, not only because of its provocative nature, but also one thing that we've been contending with, which the preview period was very, very helpful with, is that this play is very entertaining and very funny at times. And there's a lot of laughing during the play. And so that is something that you're really working in a partnership with an audience with that. I mean, you do a comedy, your whole preview period is spent trying to figure out the timing for you to be able to do your work, but then the audience to be able to allow the audience to be able to do their work as well, which is respond demonstrably. You
know? And also figure out what the laugh lines really are, yeah, and how to avoid going for those laugh lines.
Right.
But so have you ever experienced stage fright?
Never.
By the way, I'm informed the New York Times reported that this was David Mamet's Broadway debut as a director.
Ah, okay.
So I feel a little better about that.
Well, it was mine as well.
That's kind of like learning to swim by jumping into the deep end of the pool, isn't it?
I don't know. That's how I learned to swim, so.
Did you need to research this role after playing Alan Shore for so many years?
I mean, to a certain degree. I read the things that David sent me, but also, you know, he's just a very different guy than I was familiar with. And that's just a matter of reading and reading and reading and reading and reading and reading the material and learning that, and then learning the world that he inhabits. And that world is quite specific, you know, David, quite specific in its ambiguity in a strange way. I mean, it's David's, you know, each of his, I've seen it consistently, and I haven't seen everything that David has done, but I've seen it in the plays of his that I've seen, and I've seen it in the films of his that I've seen, in that they are timeless always. And they seem to be a world that's very familiar and something that you can feel and you can touch and you can see it and smell it, but it's not quite our world. It seems to be in a sort of a very familiar parallel universe. And this play inhabits that same familiar strangeness as well. You know, it's you don't quite know. There's only, I think, two sort of cultural references made in the play that really give it a time and place, and beyond that, you really don't know where it is. And
he never mentions the city.
No, he doesn't, and he didn't want to be pinned down in terms of that either. And that's fine by me. I like that kind of ambiguity in a project. I've actually done quite a few films in the past that have had that same sensibility about them, where ambiguity was really something to embrace when working on the picture. And this play was exactly the same way. There was no, you know, things that we were that one might take for granted in viewing the play, or one might take for granted as a piece of information that you absolutely must know, was something that really we were perfectly willing not to. And there are things like, you know, where and when and how and who. And all of those things are ambiguous in this play, every single one of them. I think that David wouldn't even commit to whether this young woman was a prostitute or not, and there are certainly certain members of the cast that absolutely, their characters are absolutely professing that she was, and then others that were professing that she absolutely was not.
That's part of the game that he often plays. Right. People leave Oleana arguing over whether she had a reason to complain, right, or no reason to complain. The same sort of, yeah, thing happens here. You can hear often the couples disagree on the circumstances,
yeah, I mean,
which is
great,
interesting.
That great film of his, House of Games, you know, you really never, I mean, he played with that whole device. That was what the entire film was about, is really when does a con end and when does it begin? And you never had a sense of that throughout the whole film.
Now, when you're making a film, of course, you may shoot the same scene again and again and again, but once you're finished with it, you're finished with it. You're doing the same role every night. Some actors tell me that it actually takes them a while to really understand their character. Do you think you pretty much understand Jack?
This play was enough of an enigma to me that I knew it would sustain the run, and that's what I was looking for.
Now, you've been quoted in the past as saying things like, "If I don't need the money, I don't work," and every single film I've ever done, I've taken because of the money. Is that still true?
I think that the former of those was what I meant by the second one of those, in that I have a life outside of my work that I love as much as my work, and I'm perfectly happy to pursue my life outside of work. And therefore, if I'm able to afford to do that, then I will tend to stretch that period for as long as I can until I need to go back to work again. Does that mean that I'll take a specific film because of the money? No, but it does mean that when I'm looking for a job, it's because it's now time that I need to start working again.
But there's the other side. Jeff Bridges talks about realizing that he had to be serious as an actor when he turned down a really good part in The Iceman Cometh. And a major director called him and said, "Are you out of your mind?" And then he realized that he should take that part even though he wasn't going to get paid very much for it because it was just too juicy to pass up.
I've done that a lot. But the point is that that's still work, and you just have to find – I mean, I did that with this play. You know, coming to New York – I live in Los Angeles. Coming to New York and doing this play is not a wise financial decision, but I am trying to make it work because I wanted to do this play very badly.
Now, you've had a reputation for playing characters who are twisted. Is that because, for example, in Sex, Lies, and Videotape, Crash, Secretary, because they're the more interesting people to play?
Well, I just always assumed that we all are, but maybe I'm wrong about that, or maybe the people who have to ask those questions are pretending not to be themselves, or maybe they think they're the only ones, but you're not. We're all a little bit that way.
Well, talking about Twisted, I spent some time with William Shatner. I can't say it was the pleasantest experience I've ever had, and I wasn't surprised that so many of the cast members of Star Trek have badmouthed him. But you seem to really get along well with him.
Yeah, we did just fine. I think we didn't have any preconceptions about each other, and I think we, you know, from the first moment we met, we weren't really very familiar with each other. I don't know whether he'd ever seen anything I'd done, and the only thing I'd ever seen that he'd done was, you know, I think this first film or something, maybe an episode or part of an episode of Star Trek at one point along the way. But I really wasn't very familiar with he, and he wasn't very familiar with I, and so we didn't really bring any baggage to the table in terms of each other. And we just started working with one another, and it just seemed to be fine. And you know, we're opposites in many ways, and I think that sometimes works very well.
He was your co-star in Boston Legal, and you, as I understand it, are probably the first actor to win Emmys for playing the same character, Alan Shore, in two different shows, The Practice and Boston Legal. Now playing a very different kind of lawyer in Race, which is at the Ethel Barrymore Theater at 243 West 47th Street, an open run. I understand they're selling tickets into June.
Yes.
So you've made a major commitment here. And I want to thank you so much for coming by and talking
with
us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.